Hello, and welcome to another episode of the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. My name is Alec Mappa. I'm an internationally beloved actress and comedian. Here to co-host with me today is the lovely winner of Canada's Drag Race, what? She's not here. Oh, it's just me? Just as I planned. Just kidding. Today, Priyanka is predisposed, so it's just going to be me. But beyond me, we have a very special guest. We have the latest eliminated queen from RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. Spoiler alert in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The fabulous Eureka is here with us today.
Yes, you found it.
So let's get into it. Eureka, welcome.
Hello, 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 Alec. You look gorgeous and sound
you
just
look gorgeous
as beautiful.
Too. I made a gift of you on the Instagram, and I want to play it for you because it's my favorite thing. I got a little crafty on the Instagram, and this is my favorite thing on my phone. Here we go.
I'm Riz Ann! She got crafty with the gift. I also love the one that the fans made. Oh, sorry. I was going to say they made one of Lady Gaga where it was like, I'm your biggest, but it's like, I'm your biggest fan. Follow me into from her music video for Paparazzi. It's so silly.
It's like Cher saying wagon wheel Watusi for 7 hours. I have to say, first and foremost, you've achieved everything you needed to achieve. Besides winning on this season of All Stars, you're just exceptional.
Thank you.
That you're so endearing this season. You bring a completely different energy than you did. First of all, this is like your 10th time on the show because the first time you almost broke your leg. You did break your leg.
Yeah.
You broke something.
Well, I tore my ACL.
So what was in your head this season when you were coming back? What did you want to do differently?
Honestly, we were in the middle of a pandemic when I got the call, and I didn't have anything else in the world to do, and I needed a reason to do drag, and the at-home drag just doesn't work for a girl my size. You know what I mean? Just to be honest. You know,
right.
The living room drag was not working for me, and I just knew, you know, it was the time to go back. I felt like emotionally I'm in a better place. You know, I've really kind of healed a lot since my mother passed away. I've grown so much through, you know, other working experiences. So it just felt like it was right. You know what I mean? And I felt good. I felt good going into it. I felt like a grown adult. You know what I mean? Like when you finally realize, like, you know what? I am grown enough to do this now. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And it's something that you don't know in hindsight. Like, the first time you could go through something and not know that you're grown. But I got to tell you, I'm loving We're Here. It's so good.
Aww.
It is my family's favorite show. My nieces are obsessed with it. I have my
really?
Very religious mother-in-law watching. She watched every single episode. And absolutely love it. Before we get into RuPaul's Drag Race, can you tell us a little bit about your involvement in that fabulous show?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm here now. We're actually filming right now, which is really
fantastic.
Exciting. We're filming season 2, so it's hopefully going to be releasing later in the year. Yay!
Yay! Season 2 on the road in the time of COVID.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, but it's going to be really good. We've worked really hard. You know, me, Bob, and Chandler worked really hard on this show, and I'm excited because, you know, honestly, the creators were at the finale of season 10. They loved me in season 10. When they were creating the show, I was the first person they thought of to add to it, just because it's very that,
oh, I didn't know
you
that.
Know, small town, hometown vibe and the emotions. Yeah, we had the initial meeting we had together, and we went over, like, their ideas for other co-hosts, and luckily they were feeling the same energy I was as far as, like, who I thought would be a great fit, too. It was just a really incredible moment, and they knew they needed Bob and Shangela just like I did, and it just worked out. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Beautiful.
It's incredible to be
a part
of it.
It's so good. It's so good. For those of you who haven't seen We're Here, it's a series on HBO where Bob, the drag queen, Shangela, and Eureka go to small towns and basically put on a drag show with the residents of the town. And it's basically a snapshot of what it is to be queer and queer adjacent in America right now. And it's very moving. And I remember at the beginning of one episode, it was maybe the Louisiana episode, where it all of a sudden was pointed out the obvious that all three of you originated in very small towns.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the coolest part of it, I think.
Do you find that that contributes to your rapport with the other girls? Like you all have that in common? You all have that rural upbringing in common?
Yeah, I think so. I think, honestly, it contributes to our passion for the project. Mm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think, you know, me and Bob and Shangela knew each other, and we worked together before the show. But working on this show has gotten us very close with each other because we have to rely on each other so much in these situations. Yes. But yeah, that's what's made us so close. But I think it does encourage the passion we have for the show. The fact that we're also from small towns and we know what our daughters and these people feel like. We know what it feels like.
Right. And I've done rural reality shows before, and there's nothing like bonding with your castmates when you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes, that is tea. That is tea, Miss Alec.
Yeah, you're my family out in the middle of, I don't even know where we are right now, but I'm holding on to you like a life raft. But you're so good on the show. My favorite, I think my favorite episode is where you help, I think it was the Louisiana episode where you helped the lesbian who had lost her leg in a car accident.
Yeah.
Being drag and William. Dance for the very first time. So moving.
Yeah.
So moving.
It was so crazy. That she was inspiring in general just because, one, being a powerful lesbian representation, but two, obviously, being an amputee as well, like, being so handy capable, which is I like to say. But, yeah, putting her boots back on and just went out there, it was so much fun. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
That's the part is I also get inspired doing it.
Yeah, the middle of the country needs drag queens right now. I mean, we desperately need that energy, that gender non-conforming energy out in the middle of the country. So let's get into RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, episode 609. Episode 9. Wow. Did it go by fast? Has it gone by fast for you, those 9 episodes?
It's kind of, yeah. I mean, not filming it. Filming it felt like it took forever. You know what I mean? When you're in the moment, it just feels like the longest days, the hardest days. But then when it's over, it's like, oh, God, that went by so fast. So it's kind of that moment even now. It's like, wow, we're on episode 9 already. It is going by really quick now that it's airing.
Right, right. And, you know, speaking of the pandemic, this was filmed during the pandemic, during lockdown. In fact, RuPaul's Drag Race was one of the first sets to start operating again. Tell us a little bit about what that was like, filming a reality show during a pandemic.
It was just crazy. We're in such an emotional place. But I think, honestly, it's what caused us to have such a camaraderie on this season. If you notice, honestly, even when we get upset, we're not really at each other's throats. Because I think that all of us just was excited to be around other people and just so blessed to be here. And everyone was fighting so hard to just do drag. Like, everyone was just glad to be doing something. Every morning, you know, the only channel I really had that worked in my room, because we don't have our phones, we don't have computers, nothing. We get the news. And everything was on fire. And Trump was putting, I remember literally, it was the days that Trump was, you know, posting up police at the White House and, you know, at every grand location. And there was, you know, riots and fires all over California. And literally there was smoke in the air every day. It was crazy. You know, and it's just a different energy then. And
isn't that bananas?
The set life was different. It was bananas. It was also super COVID friendly. So it was like we had to get tested every day. We had to, you know, stay in these bubbles, only work around certain people. There were like separators in between the camera people. Like it was just such careful filming, you know?
Yeah. 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 I mean, the set was really airtight. And I love the chemistry between all of the girls this season. There seems to be, like you said, a genuine camaraderie, especially between you and Trinity. You and Trinity, there's like a love bubble around you. The appreciation you have for each other, it's very, very sweet.
Well, I mean, I knew Josh before filming. Mm-hmm. So, like, for us to, like, meet each other there, it was kind of surprising. We didn't know each other was coming either, which was interesting. So, like,
yeah, you seeing don't each know other there who, was actually kind of you don't kind know anybody blessing. Who's coming, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, not just with Trinity, though. It was a blessing to see Kylie, because me and Kylie were really close where we did the Christmas special together. You know, mm-hmm. honestly, those were probably the two I was like, oh, my God, like, two people that I'm already, you know, kind of close to. And, you know, I think I understand Trinity better than most people, because I grew up around the Southern, like, pageant energy type queens. You know, right. Trinity reminds me of, like, the girls I grew up with and how they act.
Do you think that she falls under themselves. That category of pageant queen?
Oh, Trinity is a pageant queen through and through. She wants to win Continental Steel. That's her dream, right. You know, is to win Continental or USA. She's been first runner-up at several national pageants. I mean, just watch her on the runway. That's what has cultivated this symbol of excellence. But also, Josh is just a sweet guy. Josh is just a really sweet guy that has also been through a lot. And I relate with people that have been through a lot, you know, because I've been through a lot. So, like, you immediately kind of know your people when you see them. Someone that I've gotten really close to is Raja, actually. She's probably one of my, like, I call her my bestie from the show. She might not call me that. It might be a Ginger Minj Katia moment. I'm not sure. But, you know, Raja is definitely my favorite person from this season, to be honest.
I'm so needy. I check in with people afterwards like, are we really friends or did I just pretend? Was that real?
I know. I'm that bitch too a little bit. Yeah. I can't lie. I'm that girl. But I'm that girl too.
You're a pageant queen as well. I mean, you were Miss Continental Plus, weren't you? Isn't that a pageant that you competed in? Or was that your drag
mother?
No,
I can... My drag mother's a former USA at Large. I'm very much come from that Southern pageant queen realm of drag.
Love it.
I was always a little out of the box, a little too out of the box for the pageants. I would always get first and second runner up because there was always like your hair's too much or your performance was too vulgar or you're too loud or you're too. I was always a little too much for the pageants. But I will say, if it wasn't for pageantry, I wouldn't be so polished. You know, my polish and my craft was really shined up by the pageantry system. That's why my body and my hair and my makeup and everything is always so consistent, because I learned that by competing for so many years, you know?
Yes, yes. My favorite pageant hair of yours is the piled up on top one piece that's like a cutie doll. Loaf. Which is, that is straight up pageant hair, and I love it.
Yes.
And you're right. I think the pageants do kind of bring a lot of polish to the runway. The pageant girls bring a lot of polish to the runway, because every year there's like, wow, she doesn't know how to walk. So we're coming off the elimination of Pandora Box. Now, at this point in this episode, who do you see as your biggest competition?
So going into the top five episode, I mean, honestly, I felt like they were all huge competition. At this point, everyone felt like they were on an even playing field. Obviously, Ginger Minj is doing really great in the competition, so maybe Ginger probably is who I would pop out. In that moment, I would probably think she's my biggest competition. She just won another challenge and another lip sync. She's my fellow big girl. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But also, like, I was also just really happy for her, too. I was just hoping I wasn't going home, but we see how that turned out. Here we are.
You know, but in this game, it really is from week to week. It's anybody's game. You know, Trinity was like in the very bottom in the first episode. She's had an up and down journey. So it really is unpredictable. And I think that's what keeps people glued to their seats. They did superlatives. That was the challenge. And you were voted the messiest, gassiest, bossiest, and shadiest queen.
I was.
You checked off all the boxes. How did that feel?
Yeah. It felt fine. It felt normal. You know, honestly, I'm always the person that kind of gets the brunt of the joke. I always have been. You know, being the bigger person in the room, you're an easy target. One, two, I am gassy. Three, I am bossy. Four, I don't know about the messy part. It depends on your connotation of messy. I'm a very organized and clean person. Now, if you're talking about messy as in, like, socially messy, I can be socially messy. But I'm not messy as far as, like, my environment. Messy was probably the only one I was like, messy? Because when I thought messy, I thought, like, your station is messy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But they must have thought, like, drag lingo
like
messy.
Out the club messy, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning. Time to go home, and you're naked in the parking lot.
Oh, then I should have been voted most messiest, probably. Maybe that is me. That is me. You know, maybe more. Also, you know, I think this is also the Eureka people used to know, too, more. Because I used to be that girl. I actually just got tagged in something the other day. The other day, I got tagged in something where I was on a tour. And it was a video of me coming out on stage, waving to everybody with a cigarette in my hand and a bottle of cocktail and some salt and vinegar chips under my arm, bitch, full redneck drag queen fish, honey. And I was just like, I really used to be that girl.
So you're not that girl anymore? Do you think you carry yourself differently and publicly than you had formerly?
Just differently than I did before. Yeah, I just, you know, I think it comes with truly learning your self-worth. I think when you're, when you are craving attention like that, there's a self-worth problem. That's what I've learned. It's not, you know, when you're screaming, I don't give a fuck what you think.
Right.
In the way that you're acting, the truth is you care more than anyone else in the room what people think.
It's also inexperience. I mean, you've covered a lot of road.
Yeah.
You've gotten a lot of positive attention for your talent and validation. Mm-hmm. So you don't, you know, those, like you said, those are the things you do earlier in your career when you haven't achieved a level of fame.
True.
As you have.
Your value changes. Yourself. Yeah. That's what, I guess we're saying similar things, I think, because what I mean is my self-worth changed. The value of myself changed. It shifted to where I actually, I think higher of myself than that now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, now you would never catch me like that because I'm not that girl no more. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's weird how we change and we evolve.
But. And you see the evolution of the queens on the show. You know who's completely different now is Laganja. Like, she carries herself with so much confidence and light now.
Yeah.
As it there's a much less needy energy to her. Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's when you start learning your self-worth and not being so exactly needy for people's attention or their approval or, you know, there's something about it, gal.
It's like, you reach a point where it's like, I've made my point. People know who I am.
Yeah.
They know what I'm capable of.
Yeah.
I don't need to come out with a bag of chips. Although coming out with a bag of chips is hilarious. I think that's very funny.
I mean, that is hilarious. But I was also like smoking in a theater with a bottle of vodka, probably half lit in some denim jeans. It was an embarrassing video. Mm. I mean, just, I used to do the stupidest shit just to get attention, I think. You know, and didn't realize it. It's kind of like when you're the bullied kid and you're just acting out, you know what I mean? And you kind of become the bully almost, you know? I had some dark times.
Yeah, I hear you.
Honestly, I have in my life. I've had some dark times in my life.
Absolutely. And also, when you're in drag and you're on stage and people are egging you on, it's a powerful feeling. You know, it really is like a license to kill.
Yeah, I don't know if they were egging me on or not. I'm not sure. They might have. There was. I remember a few moments where the crowd was like, "The fuck is that,
Miss
Rika?" It's a little too far. Yeah.
We go into the challenge of drag tots. Going to that. Were you familiar with the show going into the challenge?
You know, actually, I had watched it because I got WoW Presents Plus because I love watching all the franchises on it. And I just happened to come across it. So I had seen the cartoon.
Now, the cartoon, for those of you, for people who haven't watched, is it more for adults? Is it more just tongue-in-cheek? Or is it an actual children's show? Or is it for both?
I think it's more children's show-ish. I don't think it's tongue-in-cheek as much. It's actually a little more child-friendly. I think they do a really good job about not letting it be too risque. Like, it's not like there was a series on Netflix, right? They did, like, a little drag superhero, like in Brazil or something, Brazil Netflix or something. That was more tongue-in-cheek. This one is really kid-friendly.
Now, going into this challenge, you were the only one without a win. Everybody pointed that out. Did you feel like that pressure affected you in this challenge at all?
You know, honestly, it pushed me to work harder. You know, it might have stressed me out a little bit. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't say I overthought it. I think I just really was trying to be so different. So I went the villain route. I mean, I think honestly, this is just kind of how it turned out. I knew the girls were going to gun for me because I hadn't won a challenge. And I was like, if I don't win this challenge, I just know they're going to send me home. I was exhausted. Girl, I was ready to go to the house. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I was kind of ready. I was emotional, but I was ready when I got eliminated just because, you know, I had slept maybe 2 hours working on this outfit all night. You know what I mean? My feet are hurting. You get to that exhausted point. I felt like everything I had done up to that point was really great. And if you all don't see my track record for what it is, because for me, I feel consistent and I've done a great job. I know I haven't won, but I haven't been the bottom either. But I can't control what they feel. And I also wasn't about to tear any of those girls down to stay because I'm just not that person anymore. You know?
Yeah. And I love that you said that.
But winning isn't everything.
I love that you said that. That, you know, we'll talk about that. We have a commercial break coming up and then we'll get more into it. And I do want to talk more about your struggle because I think you're fabulous. But before we go into commercial, I have a very special message for you.
So sweet.
Don't go anywhere. We will be right back after this commercial break. All right, we are back with Eureka. Yes. Oh, you know what? At the very final episode of We're Here, we did get into your story, which was a beautiful story. And I'm glad that they had that episode talking about your upbringing and how you discovered the drag world and your drag mom. Mm-hmm. And you even talked about it this season? That for a while you lived as a trans woman.
No, I didn't talk about it, actually. Akiria talked about it. Remember Akiria during the table talk?
Right.
Akiria talked about being trans. And I kind of left that her conversation.
Okay, but you had an experience as well, kind of living outside of the binary.
Oh, no, I definitely did. Yeah, I lived as a trans woman for 4 years in college, et cetera. So I was relating to a curious story for sure. But in that moment, her giving up that vulnerable story, I knew it was her moment to talk about it. That's why I didn't even bring mine up, you know? Because I feel like the world is kind of known, honey. Erica used to be a thing. But it was interesting to learn about Kiki. I mean, some of us we go through gender journeys. That's a thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a long
road. Absolutely. Now you, during that time, you're just starting to find drag, you're experimenting with gender. Was it an exciting time? Was it a happy time? Was it a puzzling time for you?
Yeah, no, I mean, when I lived as a trans woman, I had a great time. I had a lot of fun. That I also had a lot of really scary moments too, you know, because I was taken advantage of by predators and different things like that.
I'm sorry.
And got mixed up in drugs and emotional. Mm-hmm. I was young. And, you know, there's a lot of things that affected me in my retransition. But the biggest part was just realizing, like, I was kind of playing this character and I was trying to escape my upbringing, which was really rough, like with my dad and stuff and just my family in general. I wanted to become a different person. So I retransitioned to finally figure out how to love who I really was as a person, period. So I transitioned for the wrong reasons. I transitioned to run away from who I was born to be, which is actually a non-binary human being that I live as now, non-conforming, that I had to discover through all of that, educating myself and those experiences. That's why I tell people, girl, gender journey, take as long as you need, go as many routes as you need, you know what I mean?
And it's different for everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would never presume to tell anybody, you know, this is how it goes. This is where you're at. Because, like you said, we're absolutely always evolving. I mean, the show is proof of that. You're proof of that. You're a different person than you were 2-3 years ago, and it shows.
Yeah, thank you. It shows to me, too. Watching it, I'm just like, oh, my God. I'm proud of what I did before on the seasons for who I was in that moment, you know, but I'm really proud of who I've become, you know. I wanted to become someone that my mother could be proud of, too. You know, I'm living in her legacy now. And it's a real legacy.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, weirdly, everything works out for a reason. It's just incredible.
Yeah. My mom passed away more than 20 years ago. She died very young. But I always feel like when things are going well or when I'm doing something well, I'm kind of passing on a gift. Do you know? Because I feel like all the good stuff in me.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of good stuff in me comes from my mom in my more generous moments, in the moments where I'm being a good friend. Because when my mother passed away, everybody said the same thing. Everybody said that she was my best friend. So it's kind of like, I think the people we love and care about do leave gifts for us to share after they've gone.
Well, you have a huge heart. I mean, I adore you, and I know that you just give off the best energy. So, props to mom. You know, thank you, mom, for giving us Alec.
And you were close to your mom, right? Or did you have a tricky relationship?
Yeah. No, we were really close. You know, honestly, my whole life, she was my best friend, you know, growing up, because I was different.
Yeah.
I was so different.
Right.
She was my strength system. I was also big. You know, the thing is like, being a large person, not just fat, but also just being large. I'm 6'4". I've been over 6 foot since I was in sixth grade. Like, I grew really quickly.
Yeah.
So I got up into like the 5'10", 5'11s in like sixth grade in middle school. So just being a large German person and then also being a sissy at the same time, you're a huge target at size and then obviously the way you act. But people expect you to be able to hold your own. So then they force you into violence a lot of times, things like that. It just wasn't easy for me. But my mom was always my best friend and my support system and stood beside me and told me it was okay to be sensitive and to be myself. And, you know, that I didn't have to be a fighter. I didn't have to be a football player. I didn't have to be these things that people saw me and envisioned for me. But I was obviously just a flailing lady. You know what I mean?
You've made it work for you, and it's you've taken all the things that were formerly considered liabilities, and now they're all assets. I mean, they're all
I know.
Your strengths. What I love is when we go to drag cons, seeing all the gay kids meet all the drag queens.
Oh my goodness!
Seeing
all the little girls in drag.
Yeah, all the little kids. It's just the best thing, kind of like, yeah, they see a role model of like, oh, it's not so bad for me to be who I am. I love that. I absolutely love that. So let's talk about Alexandria McQueen. You were kind of going for a villain, which was super, super fun. You did proportionize the entire season. I mean, every look you did was like, all your looks were just great. I even liked the beach ball one. We had a discussion about
that on
a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, can we talk about like how the beach ball was perfectly placed on your stomach, and that's the joke, and she's pointing it out, and it's so smart. Yeah, I just thought it was great. What were your favorite
beach ball body mama?
Beach ball body mama.
That I wore, or just in general?
You wore, and then in general. We'll branch out.
Okay. My favorite look to wear... Ooh, probably the beach ball. You know, I did love that. I also loved patterns, and I loved my crossing guard look. I thought that was really fun.
That was pretty great.
And my favorite look in general, I think Jan had some really rocking looks, to be honest. And Akiria blew my mind every week. Just does drag. That bitch just does drag. Raja blew my mind a lot because she makes everything she wears. So, like, sometimes I was just like, bitch, you made that? Yeah.
I know. Do you sew? Are you a sewing
And Trinity had some really incredible looks, too.
Yeah. Do you sew?
I was kind of reminded that I know how to sew on All Stars. But, yes, I know how to sew. I do.
Okay.
But I was forced to, like, I hadn't sewn in so long, but now I remember.
I think it's like Survivor. If you get cast on Survivor, bitch, you better know how to make a fire on a beach by yourself by episode one. Do you know what I mean? The show's been on for 700 years. So whenever a queen comes on Drag Race and says, I don't know how to sew, it's like, or when some, or a queen comes on and says, yeah, I'm not an actress. It's like, yes, you are. I mean, have you been watching the show? You know what's required of you.
I mean, at least be prepared for improv. Be prepared to act silly. You know, just have fun with it. It's drag. I think sometimes the girls take themselves too serious.
And, too seriously.
This challenge, that's kind of what I wanted to do, was just like, you know what? Maybe I just want to be the villain. Just be something different.
Yeah, it was really, really fun.
Everyone else is going to do the little pretty frilly.
Yeah, I also love Devon. Kill everyone now.
Condone first degree murder.
Filth is my life.
I know. I wish they could have used more of those iconic lines. I think there was some copyright issues too, but it was so fun to play her. You know, I think there was a lot of restrictions actually on me playing Divine. Yeah, just because she is a character. I couldn't do anything involving feces on camera.
You couldn't eat a baby.
No, baby. Well, no, I did. They just didn't show it.
You know what I mean?
They can't show stuff like that. So there was a lot that was done that doesn't make the cut sometimes, you know? We're up there for like a good 30 minutes to an hour.
I believe it. It's there's because they film a lot because they want a lot to play with in the edit. Now in the looks for this challenge, let's go through everybody real quick. Trinity came out as like a furry feline kind of Alice in Wonderland cat.
Yes.
She had it reminded me of Alice in Wonderland, but Alice in Wonderland, like the Cheshire Cat, had a blonde wig. I really love this look. Thoughts?
It was cute. I thought it was really good. Honestly, I just remember her. She had a whole other character she was working on in the workroom, and this was a last-minute call for her, and it was a really good direction. I loved seeing her play with the yarn balls that she created and stuff. It was really fun.
Uh-huh. This was last minute?
I mean, she originally... Not last... I mean, well, she originally was going to... And I don't know if this is my tea to spill, but she originally was going to do Princess Positivity, I think, was the name of her first character she came up with.
Oh,
she was going to be Princess Positivity and, like, was going to be, like, a superhero. And after talking with Rue, I think she changed it.
Changed her mind. Okay, then we came out with Princess Terrabelle. Terrabelle, that was... Ginger's character. And this was my only issue with Ginger has been the length of her hems in like a lot of the challenges. I'm kind of like that hem is puzzling me. Like when she came out as the goth girl and the hem was just kind of like mid shin. And if you're 5 feet tall, and I'm saying that because this is a hem I actually like. She was doing kind of like a child pageant dress in blue. And she was like this little Southern Belle. Yeah. I really like this look a lot.
It was really good. It was very her wheelhouse. I loved it because it was very Ginger. You know, for me, I would have loved to have seen her do something different. But, I mean, when you know your brand, girl, sell it. And she knows how to sell her brand. It's very Ginger.
I know. I think it was kind of like, it wasn't a big risk, but it was like, it kept her in the race.
Oh, for sure. It was a really safe bet, for sure.
Yeah. And then Raja blew me away with this purple outfit. I mean, I can't. She even painted her whole face purple. And she was, I see a queen, because before she was
I
queen
see
semen.
A queen.
Yeah.
Right.
She was a semen queen before it, and Rue didn't like that. So.
Oh, queen semen, honey. Queen semen. Yeah, that was weird. I'm glad she changed it. I see you, queen was even more fun.
I see you, queen.
It was the whole disco theme, and... You
right.
know, she's interesting because she's so talented. Raja is so incredible.
Really, really fun. And then last but not least, we have Kylie Sonique in her little witch Halloween outfit. I love this idea.
Oh, my God.
I really love this idea. I thought it was so
cute. I loved the witch.
Yeah.
Loved it. I thought it was really one of my favorites. I mean, honestly, I think that if there could have been a few details done that would have won it for me with her. But I mean, honestly, it was, if Raja wouldn't have been so sickening, you know what I mean?
Right. Let's talk about the details. What would you have changed? Because she's in a hoop skirt
that
kind of goes all the way to the floor, and she has almost like a little Party City tiny witch hat and these little glasses and stuff. I mean, she had a whole story. This looked like an action figure already.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I guess if I didn't already know, like, just being there, I knew she wasn't going to win the challenge just because it was so last minute. She was really rushing around to make it happen. There were some unfinished edges, but what she made happen in that amount of time, the story and everything was so incredible that I loved it, honestly. I don't think that she could have changed a lot.
I think
there was just no way that Raja was going to get beaten. You know what I mean? Like, I think Raja just swept that challenge. But I think if Raja would have been off, Sonique could have won. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
to
so
me,
amazing.
Sonique was the next best.
I'm so in love with her. I met Sonique years ago during her very first, because I was the guest on the very, very first Snatch Game. And the transformation of
who
she was then and who she is now is unbelievable. But there was always that sweetness about her, and I love that everybody's getting to know that this season. It seems like she was really
well
liked by the other girls. I really liked her a lot, and she blew me away in the Snatch Game. I mean, just unbelievable.
Her dolly was good.
So good. So, listen, I got to wrap. I'm getting the signal from the producer to wrap this up, and I know you've got your shoot to get back to. Thank you so much for doing the podcast. Where can people find you on your socials?
just at Eureka O'Hara, honey. It's always been the same gig, girl. Always okay. will be, always been here, gonna be here, gonna keep tracking. Thank you, Alec. I love seeing you and talking to you.
I love you. Don't hang up. Now, after this episode, you can please make sure you head over to WOW Presents Plus and watch season 2 of Drag Tots. Also, there's a Drag Race Holland season 2 and so much more. I mean, Drag Race Spain. Can we talk? The official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast airs every Wednesday, and right now we have a special offer. Check out our World of Wonder store at worldofwonder.com for all of our wonderful products. You can save 10% off with the code DRAGRACEPODCAST. Don't forget the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast right here every Wednesday on the WOW Podcast Network. Listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find me at Alec Mappa on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can listen to my mental health podcast, Alec Mappa Hot Mess with Matthew Dempsey, psychotherapist, streaming wherever you find podcasts. Listen, we love that you check us out every Wednesday, so don't forget to come back next Wednesday for more tea on the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. We'll see you then. Bye-bye!
This has been a World of Wonder production.